Welcome back to the Growth in Jams podcast. My name is Saul and I'll be your host here again today. Today I'm sitting down with an incredible person, Joshua Garcia, who is a senior at UTSA and will be graduating here shortly. Most importantly, he is my beloved brother. We're here today to talk about several things, but we talk about his journey throughout college and with academics in general, struggling with dyslexia and overcoming those hardships. We talk about his mental health journey, which is a unique one that takes extreme candor to share. We discuss his new job, what it entails, and how he's grown as a person as a result of it. And then we detail his sexuality and the struggles and the victories that have come along with that. What a great episode we have here today, and I hope you enjoy. Josh, I'm very excited to have you here today. Just as a general foundation for the audience, share a little bit about who you are, how we know each other, and I guess what you're currently up to.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Joshua Garcia. I grew up in the Valley, so Harlingen, Texas. I'm living in San Antonio right now. I go to UTSA. I'm about to graduate with my undergraduate degree. I'm a senior right now. It's my final semester, and then planning on doing graduate school afterwards. Saul and I know each other because we're brothers. he's my brother. So, you know, known this guy a very long time. We have a very close relationship. But yeah, we just got so lucky to have each other as siblings rather than just friends. So that's how we know each other.
Yeah, awesome. On that note, just for the audience, like my earliest memories, they all contain Joshua. I think the distinction in this like world between like stepbrother, half brother, or step sibling or half sibling or whatever, and full sibling is like kind of shattered in our family. Like that doesn't really exist, which I'm really thankful for because in all you are truly my brother. You're not my stepbrother. And I mean that.
Sure.
I've really enjoyed being able to grow up with you. And just a little anecdote for our listeners. Yeah, Josh and I were those two kids, since we're so similar in age, that grew up being matched 24/7. We were just wearing the same clothes all the time. And yeah, it was great.
And I know this is an audio podcast, but if you guys know us, you know that we look nothing alike.
Yeah.
It did not look like we were twins, but they definitely dressed us up as if we were. So
yeah,
that's
definitely. Congratulations again on, you know, nearing completion of your undergraduate degree. It's a huge deal. And I know this path for you has been pretty much, you know, all over the place as it really is for a lot of people in college. I guess talk a little bit about what that was like for you in terms of changing your major and uncertainty and what you wanted to do.
Yeah. So I approached college as something that I definitely had to do. As Saul knows, in our family, it's just kind of something. It's not a question. After you go to high school, you have to go directly to college, and that's what you do. That's your plan. That's what everyone does. So it was definitely something that I had to do, not something that I, at a younger age, had any actual understanding of what it is and what you're actually doing there. So I came into college not really knowing what I wanted to do, not really have a path in life. And it was really, I guess you can say, overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it just was a lot of things happening. And so my sophomore year, I just really wasn't in a very good place. I wasn't happy with what I was doing, or didn't have any goals or aspirations for after college, which is a scary thought. And I just realized that, I don't know, I need to do something that I'm gonna love and that I'm going to prosper at. And that my major is in communications with a minor in business. But after undergrad, definitely wasn't even an idea before all that. So I had to switch it up. And once I switched it up, I actually started going to therapy also, which helped a lot with how deeply I was suffering so quietly and nobody knew to some extent. So that definitely helped me just guide into my path that I am in today. And I definitely wouldn't have been able to go through college without understanding my own mental health and my own emotions and my own like goals and achievements that I want to accomplish in my life. So that has definitely helped me a lot, just setting those goals and trying to achieve them.
Yeah, definitely. To first commend you on like how far you've come. Like I really want to do that because Yeah, I think in this family, while accolades and achievements are very much celebrated, suffering is very much suppressed. And I think a lot of us do it in different ways and definitely quietly and isolated. So it's been great to know that you were going through something and that you have since come a long way. So I'm really proud of you. And yeah, I'm really happy for all that you are culminating in your path and like how it all fits in. And we'll get to talk about that a little bit later.
Going off the family, like the certain pressures and the aspects of our family is our family is very intelligent and we have very big goals. And it's like, it is what it is. So everybody that we have to compare ourselves from in within our family, I mean, you're going to law school. Our brother, Sebastian, is going to Harvard. Our sister just became a doctor. Our cousin just graduated law school. There's so much going on in our family and so much to look up to. So that also hurt me because everybody had these very clear paths. And I know, Saul, I don't know if you talked about it, but like you also had like a situation like this where it's like you just wanted to find out what it was. So we all go through that thing because you have to love what you're doing. And that's what it's scary to love what you're doing, but also succeed and be like comparing yourself to your family members or just the people around you. So that was also something I really had to overcome for a while because it was really suppressing my best way to say is like my knowledge. I didn't have confidence in myself. And so I was suppressing on the things I couldn't do. And I would second guess pretty much all my choices, which is not a good way to live. So that family has definitely pushed me. But also now I'm realizing that family pushing you is amazing thing because without that push, if there's no one pushing for you, it's just yourself. And that's not always so fun.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think one thing too, that is hard that I've internalized as well, because a lot of people come from less and they create more. But since ours was a little bit of the reverse, like we were very fortunate growing up, there's a certain expectation to do more with starting with more. So like that indirect pressure, while there is a lot of like visible advantages that we were given, I suppose, it is a lot of pressure and it's not direct pressure, but subliminal and subconscious pressure. Surpass what has already been done by previous generations, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you're saying not direct pressure. I definitely have been direct pressured within our family. I know you have too. Two specific things. Our grandfather has been telling us that we needed to go to law school since I was 2 years old. So that is definitely something like college education, so you can be successful. Yeah. And that's how we always grew up by. And that is just one way. Yeah,
definitely.
But it's scary. It's very scary.
It really is. And I wish we could welcome people into what our family is, because it's so crazy. Like not only just the immediate nuclear blended family that we have, but we each have a separate nuclear family as well with completely different values and all those different things for us.
I mean, just having this crazy family, it does add so many factors into any situation. Like think about holidays, think about graduations, think about all these things where we have to blend so many aspects of our lives that are completely different lives. And it's worked so far and it's really something, but it's also another stressor that we all have to deal with, except for Sebastian. And it's just something that is really, it just really can affect your attitude and it can affect your life. It can affect your mental health. It can affect how you're feeling on a day-to-day basis. But I feel like having support systems like our siblings that are all very great and we don't think about that into each other really helps a lot. I just had to say that, it just popped in my head.
Yeah, I definitely agree. To take a brief step back, because you mentioned that you went to school and you grew up in the Valley, I guess talk a little bit about your experience with how that is compared to San Antonio, and especially in relation to going into college, because I'm sure education down there is very different than it is here.
Yeah, for sure. So the Valley, it's Harlingen is where I grew up. So it's a smaller town than here in San Antonio, so say, or Austin or Dallas. Obviously, it's much smaller and it's closer to the border. There's a lot of immigration, things that happen down there, and it's a lot of crazy crimes sometimes, but also it is a very great town. Like it has so much going on for it. But when I was younger, I would always see kids having to like fight for things that I never had to fight for or worry about things that I never had to worry for. So I got to see two different perspectives, my own and then the perspective of my peers that I went to school every day with and just didn't understand what it is. And college is actually pushed pretty hard down there because they want people to educate themselves, not to fall into the routine that a lot of people just fall into, that their family does this, I might as well do this also. So college is pushed. So my graduating class, I actually think we had 100% college acceptance. Now, it's not a crazy huge graduating class, but it was, that's a big thing. And they have multiple years of college acceptance, 100%. So every single senior enrolled at that school actually gets 100% college acceptance. So that's, I mean, that's pretty cool. And college was something that a lot of people didn't think they could at a younger age. It just kind of pushed it away. I mean, even me with my privilege, I was like, college, I don't know if that's really me, until they started hammering in our head and we're like, that's not a question. Like, yeah, I don't care if it's not you, it's going to happen kind of thing. But college down there, it was kind of just like, okay, don't go to college if you don't want to go to college. And that was a big thing I saw around, other than my family, I saw around a lot of my friends go through and have to be educating themselves from college, because a lot of them were first generation also. So when we get to hear stories from all of our parents saying, oh, college is great, it's this, it's that, you're going to do this, don't forget to do this. A lot of my friends didn't get any of that, because a lot of them, either their parents never went to college. Some of their parents didn't even speak English. So they would also have to try to like translate everything that was going on, all the situations. So it was a much more difficult conversation for a lot of people down there compared to myself. But I do think that the Valley does a really good job in supporting kids that are going to college and helping them out, because there are multiple colleges in our small town and relatively good ones. UTRGV is close by. So that really helped. And I definitely seeing that really just shows you a lot of things and gives you a different perspective from your life, I guess you can say, seeing that, and then you don't have any of those struggles. So it definitely just realized that college isn't something that I have to do because my family's telling me it's something that I am privileged to be able to attend, privileged to be higher education, privileged to have these great things happen. So that also helped me get a different perspective on the college in general. So
that's awesome. That's great to have those differing experiences to diversify your perspective on life, because I don't think a lot of people see outside their little bubble that is their bubble. And growing up in the Valley, where there's kind of like barely a middle class, it's very much one end of the spectrum and a very opposite end of the spectrum. So I think seeing both ends and dealing with all different kinds of people will definitely enrich your life, and has done so for you, I would say.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay on the education topic for a little bit, but I think it's good because you have a lot to offer on that perspective. So your entire life, you've struggled with dyslexia and you faced several hardships as a result of that, some of which culminated at a young age. Why don't you talk a little bit about how dealing with that was, especially from a young age where you were in private school and, you know, they didn't really know how to help you, and then transitioning to public school?
Yeah. So up until the fourth grade, I actually struggled with school. I know people can say that, you know, it's the fourth grade, you're not really doing intense things, but I just struggled reading and writing and things like that more than a fourth grader should. I could hardly read anything by the fourth grade. And I went to a private school, as most of us in this family started out. We all started out in private schools. And I just was really struggling. And most private schools, they're privately funded, so they don't get special allowances for like special education programs or like just the curriculum that you would have to adapt for these students. It's kind of just not really done there. So I was struggling and they didn't know why. So my mother took me to a specialist, and turns out I had extremely bad dyslexia and I had been struggling for a very long time, and the private school could not really do anything for me. So I got moved over to public school, where throughout my middle school years, I was working with, I'm not sure what the title would be, but she would help me learn my disability, learn how to work with it, and learn how to work besides it, I guess you can say, is another word. And there's so many tools that you can use. And that was the first time I had ever been shown any of this. It was really, it was like, whoa, I'm not, frankly, lack of a better word, I'm not stupid. Like, that's crazy. I really, for so long, it was just like, you're stupid. Like, I would see my siblings get like A's and, or a B+, and then everybody will get really mad at them, get super upset. Like, how could you get a B? You need an A. But then I'd get like a B-, and they're like, oh, Josh, you're doing great. I'm so happy for you. So like, it was just like, okay, so that's how it is. I get it. Like, I'm just going to struggle more than everyone else. I'm not the same person. So I never looked down upon that, because I understand why they did it. They didn't want me to feel bad, I guess, best you can say. And I got that, but it's just hard to see, especially when I wasn't getting the help. It was just like, okay, like, that's what it is. Two different perspectives, and I'm just on this side of the perspective, and that's what I'm going to get. And that's okay. But then I started realizing what it is. And I also talked to she was kind of like a counselor kind of about dyslexia. And like, she let me know that you're not as smart as everyone else. You just have to work a little harder. And that's what I've done. And throughout high school, up until like my sophomore year, I actually stopped using a lot of the things because, you know, you're in high school, you don't want to be seeing with an overlay and things like that.
Yeah.
Reading. So I kind of stopped and I backed away. And then when I got admitted to college and I started, I was not used to reading textbooks every day, two chapters a day kind of thing. And it was a lot to handle, especially when I stopped using all my tools, all my things. I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't really thought about dyslexia for a while because it was a lot easier in high school just to maneuver about the assignments and things. So college, I started to struggle again with my dyslexia, and it was really bad. I could hardly read again. And that's what also triggered my anxiety for life in general. I didn't really have much of it until I got into college and I started struggling again. I couldn't read as well as I could, and things were just deteriorating really fast. And then I introduced it again. I started using my overlays. I started going to places like UTSA that would help you out. And it was drastically helped me as just personally in my head, but it also helped my grades. I went from a B minus student to an all A student. So just the seeing the difference that like actually listening to your body and listening to your brain and helping it out is just a huge difference. And that really helped me. So don't forget your dyslexia manners, boys.
That sounds like such a incredibly unique journey that it seems like no one in this family has really had to struggle with outside of you. Like, I think we were all very privileged in that we had it easy in terms of education. I think it came easy to some of us. And then for like Victoria, for example, she just worked really, really hard to make up for the lack of, I would say, like innate ability maybe. But for you to have the compounded factor must have been so challenging, especially in this family. And at a young age too, it must have felt so helpless. But it's great to see that, you know, in asking for that help and using the resources around you, you were able to become essentially this exceptional student, which is incredible. And yeah, just want to commend you some more. I think this is all just a humble brag for you. But
I'm living for this. Don't stop by any means. Thank you.
But yeah, nonetheless, incredibly proud of you because it makes your accomplishments that you have accomplished so much more than anyone's normal accomplishments because you had those compounding factors. So to say the least, proud of you. And you touched a little bit on anxiety. I think this would be a perfect place to jump into what your journey with mental health has been.
Oh, what a journey it's been. She is a cruel mistress, if the best way to say it. But yeah, my mental health journey, that's a rough one because I actually didn't really suffer for a lot from mental health until my college years. Like high school, I didn't have much to worry about. I was very privileged. So it was something I definitely had to learn later on what it is, educate myself, how I can help myself and have other people help me and learn how important other people helping you can be. So it was my sophomore year, like I said, is when I really started struggling with my education and my prospects of life and things I wanted to do after college. And that kind of just led into so many other aspects of my life, which really just broadened so much things and ruined so many things for me. So it started out with me just worried about what I was going to do. And then my dyslexia started coming in and I thought I wasn't good enough. I couldn't do this again. I could hardly read back then. If it gets that bad, like, I don't know what I can do. I can't do that in college. I'm going to get behind my grades, things like that. And then it started creeping up to other aspects of my life, such as my relationship. It started going through my physical health. I started losing a lot of weight. I was getting really pale. I was getting super sick. I just was so scared about so many things. I would just constantly be nauseous, wouldn't eat, would just forget about it. It was just not a very healthy way to live. And then it started going through a form, I could say, of social anxiety, where I would freak out for any in-person class. So I would go an hour and a half before and sit in my car in the garage or in the parking lot and just sit there. And I would just always tell people like, oh, you know, it's just because I'm an early person. I don't like being late. But actually, I would just sit there and constantly just like talk to myself, talk myself through it, make sure that everything is okay. Like say I can do this and like it's going to be fine. And that was out of nowhere. I'm an extremely social person. And that was something that never affected me. I never thought about it. And to this day, I still have to be extremely early to anything. Zoom meetings, parties, anything, just because I get scared and my heart starts racing. So all the anxiety just started spreading so fast to so many aspects of my life. And that really scared me. And I got to a really dark place and our parents found out about how bad it was and how bad I was getting. And they got really worried. So they introduced me to Randy. So, I don't know if you talked about Randy on here, if you're okay to talk about Randy on here.
Definitely okay. For the listeners, yeah, the running joke in our family is that we have a Randy, and Randy is this great human being that literally has treated like our entire family for mental health disorders. So I'll let you,
yeah. Our family. Yeah. And he is an amazing person. He's helped us all through so many dark things. But I had got introduced to him pretty early on when I started getting bad, like pretty early on in my sophomore year. And he was right around when I started getting bad, when I started having the social anxiety, started like losing weight and things, and I looked really bad. I would cry 4 to 5 times a day for 15, 20 minutes. It was a really dark time. And I talked to him, and within 2 weeks, I was only showing up an hour ahead of time. I wasn't freaking out. I wasn't crying as often. I wasn't worried. I had a plan. I had an idea. I switched my major, and he really just helped me. He guided me through the struggles that I was having, and not only guided, but also taught me what was going on, like what a panic attack was, why are you freaking out this much, why your body does this, and why it's so scary, and things like that. And it shows you a different perspective of something who's just like sitting there and living through the anxiety from someone who actually knows what it is and knows what you're going through and just wants to educate you and teach you how to help yourself. And one thing that he really helped me with was the anxiety. And one thing that he, I don't know if I, this is like selling his trades, but he has a Chinese finger trap, and he would give me them and I would put them on. And so a Chinese finger trap, when you just yank, it gets tighter and you get locked in harder. But when you push in, you can actually release yourself. So think about that as like anxiety. So when you stretch away from it and you're fighting and you're not really knowing what's going on, so you're just pushing it away and you're pulling away, it's going to get a lot worse and it's going to get a lot tighter in your life. So you have to confront it and push in and realize what's happening and realize what's going on in your head and why you're feeling like this. And you can easily just get released from the Chinese finger trap or from your anxiety. And that helped me a lot. I would sit in my car just pushing my fingers in and out the Chinese finger trap in an hour and a half before school started, and just saying like, you're having a panic attack. This is okay. You're going to be fine. Nothing's going to be bad. And that really helped me a lot, actually. And I don't know, that brought me out from a very dark place, and just talking to him and having someone that is there to listen to you and just hear what you've been through and how you feel just is so amazing and so great. And he's helped me through so much. He's helped all of us through so much. And it's really a difference from confronting what's going on in your head and just hiding it and saying, that's fine, it's going to pass. So I would definitely recommend seeing a therapist if you don't have anyone, or find someone to talk to, find someone that you can trust, because it really does make a difference just to put your words into someone and knowing that they're listening to you and knowing that they're going to be there for you. Really just, it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah, 100%. To piggyback off that, like, I think for a long time, personally, I spent my life self-medicating and, yeah, you know, pulling away from the anxiety and the depression. And a lot of things after 3-4 years ago helped me to see as well that self-medication eventually stops medicating you and creates other problems. But being able to force yourself to deal with your actual problems head on, understand them and learn about them, and then, you know, find tools, because I think a lot of what Randy does is like, he always says it's helping you to build your own script and like to rewrite your script. All that is so valuable and like long-standing change within your life and dealing with pretty much any struggle. So I'm so thankful that we were able to have Randy as a person in our life, because I think his impact on us and on our entire family for that matter is immeasurable. I don't think we would be the family that we are or the individuals that we are without him. So yeah, just for sure. to humbly brag about Randy, find yourself a Randy, people. Yeah, what a guy. But
what a guy.
But perfectly, your own struggles with mental health, which again, thank you for sharing that. It's all incredibly valuable, and being talked about alone helps so many people in understanding that they can talk about it and they can come to learn about their mental health as well and share with that. So thank you for that. but I think this would be the perfect place for you to kind of talk about how your own journey with mental health ultimately leads into what you want to do for your career and your life.
All the things I've told you so far about my dyslexia, about how much I struggled, about what I'm struggling with right now, kind of just led, which I'd like to say that I had no idea what I was doing sophomore year. And then I started to go to therapy and I started to realize how important mental health and how much of a stigma that mental health can be in so many families and so many situations that it really can damage people. So I ended up making a choice, and this is my like future, to actually studying clinical mental health counseling as a master's degree and end up being a licensed therapist, basically a brandy. So that would that is what I thought, because, you know, although you can't really project your own situations onto your patients, I do think that going through this and realizing how important and seeing the drastic difference in my life that really has happened from joining therapy and talking about my mental health and learning more about it, I just really pushed me to like want to do the same thing for others and help others that have been in my situation or are going to be in my situation. And if I can help one person as much as Randy has helped me, or the idea of mental health and therapy in general has helped me, that would be good enough, because I personally know that it definitely has saved my life. Because if I was in the same situation I was sophomore year, I don't know if I would be here right now, because it was really dark, not just because of school, there's other aspects of it, but it was just a really dark time. And that scares me that there's so many people going out there suffering alone because they think that's all they can do, is there's nobody to talk to because they never had that in either their family. They haven't had those close friends. There could be so many aspects of life that just make you feel like you are alone. And that's terrifying. And people don't often talk about it. They kind of just live with it. And that is something that you shouldn't do. You don't have to do. There are so many ways to make yourself feel loved and make yourself feel wanted, because you are loved and you are wanted. And I would love just to make people feel that way and just allow people to realize their importance in this world. Even if they feel so unwanted or unimportant, there's always something for you, because you are here and you are a part of the process, which is this universe. Like, you are a moment in time, and that is a big thing. And you need to realize that. Everybody needs to realize that. So I don't know. I just really hope one day I can help people the same way that I've been helped. That's why I kind of switched over from no career to might as well helping people that were in my situation. So yeah, I'm pretty excited.
That's awesome. I think you're going to do a great job at it. Personally, I think it perfectly fits who you are, and you're right. I think as long as you help one person, then it's an absolute victory. So yeah. I'm proud of you, and I'm excited for you as well, because I think you found your perfect pocket of what to do in this world. Like, that perfectly fits you.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel great.
To transition to what you're currently doing, why don't you talk a little bit about your job and what that entails and how that's been for you, what you've learned about yourself as a result of it?
Oh, yeah. So my job is very random and something I would have never, I'm sure I would have never in my entire life thought I'd be doing right now. And I'm positive my family would have never guessed that I'd be doing this right now. But I'm an NMA, so non-medical attendant for a triple amputee Army Ranger. So what I do is I just go around with him, and we basically, I guess you can say, just hang out. But, you know, I'll drive, I'll take care of his medications, I'll do any wound care if he needs it, or I'll help him out, talk to his doctors, and then just do things at the house for him, just hang out with him, we'll do his errands, I'll help him out, we'll find hobbies. And I got introduced to this job by my friend, Sarah, who was their cousin, and she was doing the job that I have now, but she had to move out of town. So she asked me, hey, do you think... And I had met them before and I knew the situation. I was like, do you think you can do this? And I said, oh, sure. I mean, I guess let them know if they need me to call me. Well, one day they called me and I was like, oh, this is happening. Okay. So it happened. And I went over. I was terrified because, you know, it's scary to see a triple amputee in general. Just, you don't know what to do if you're not trained in that. So it's kind of a scary situation. And then I started, and I went there one day, and then I just kept on going over, and now I'm there every single day. I'm gonna head over there after this, and we kind of go through it. And a big part of it is the companionship that him and I have, because every day we just spend all day together and we just talk about everything that is going on in his head and what's going on in my head. And it's just another person to be there and just talk to. And definitely, I know I need it. And I didn't know how much I needed this scenario, what I am in right now, before it happened. And I'm definitely sure he needs it also. So we help a lot with each other, frankly. I'm not like I'm working for him, but it's definitely a mutual respective relationship where I get something, he gets something. But it's really just shown me a different perspective in life, because he's had such a awful situation happen to him a year and a half ago. So this is a very recent thing, kind of situation that not many people realize, because how he is so happy. He still is cognate, like he can still think, he still knows what's going on. And that's a big thing, because he's met so many people that have had something like this happen to him, or the same thing happen to him on them. And he says it's really sad, because a lot of them are still addicted to opioids. They're still constantly on drugs. They're high most of the time. And that's something that he doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to just live off the system and just be a leech kind of thing. So he is wanting to get his master's degree. We found a way for him to play golf. He's talking about scuba diving. Like, he's still so active and still finding these hobbies, which is very important in the world of mental health. It's hobbies, finding yourself, finding your aspect, things to do, places to go. And he's doing that. And that really just shows, if he can do that, shoot, I can do whatever. I can apply to grad school. I can finish this assignment. I can take this test. I can do whatever you have to do. You can just think about that and be like, if he can do that, well, I can do this. And it's just really another perspective that I get to see and just learn from. And it's really helped me personally, just in a mental standpoint. And I hope I've helped him. He said I've helped him before. So I hope that, I don't know, it's been really great. So it's a random job, but I enjoy it.
Well, first of all, that's an awesome job. And you're literally doing incredible work being there for him and doing that. Cause yeah, I can't imagine what that's like, the emotional load that carries as a worker. But yeah, the time commitment on top of that and all the things you do. But it's great to see that it benefits you in ways that I think 99% of jobs would never benefit someone. But yeah, in all, I'm just glad that you're able to do that and you're able to have these different experiences, these learned experiences, because I think they have helped you a lot. And like in the conversations that we've had since you've had this job, I can tell that your impact in the world is great and you are impacting people's lives. So yeah, again, congrats and proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's something I really enjoy. It's something that I would not have expected me to be doing, but it's really helped me and it really gives me a sense of it's actually going to end soon. They're actually moving back to their hometown, but it's something that for this period of time really just showed me how important life is and how many things you can take for granted and how to approach life, not as something you have to do, but something you get to do, because not many people obviously get to have the privilege that you have just by walking or talking or breathing or moving around freely. So you have to really just take those things, small things you never really think of, and just apply them to your life and just realize on how important and how crazy it is that you're doing these things. That was definitely something that just helped. I can take from that job for sure.
Yeah, well said. I could not have said it better. To get to, I think, our last topic, which is, you know, a critical part of who you are has been a result of, you know, so many struggles in your life, within our family, within faith, within relationships, whatever it may have been in different spaces. Yeah, talk a little bit about your sexuality.
Yeah, so okay, I'm gay, everyone. Hello. Just put that out there. But my sexuality was something that came to me at a pretty young age, I guess I could say. It was fourth grade, actually, when I started to realize, okay, I'm just this. That's what it is. And then in the fifth grade, sixth grade, I was like, well, that's not right. I need to fix this. Try to fix it. And didn't really get fixed because, as you know, as most people know, it's not something you can fix. It's definitely something that is just who you are. And I didn't know that at that young age. But then I started accepting it around seventh grade. And realized that's what I am. That's what I'm going to live by. And that's totally okay. And it got easier for me. And from that point on, I really have no problem with who I was. I've never questioned my sexuality. I've never said that I wish I was something else. I've never been upset about it because I love it so much. I love my sexuality. I know that might sound kind of weird, but it's just like, it's something that I can be proud of and something that I am proud of. And it's something I take that can be kind of scary, but it's fun. It's great. And my experience with my sexuality has been very high and very low sometimes. especially with coming out, which a lot of people have awful experiences, completely just monstrous experiences that I could never even imagine. And I'm so sorry people have to go through that. For my instances, most of my family members were completely fine. I actually told Saul and our sister Victoria around the same time. They were the first people I ever told, not even just in our family. And obviously they reacted very fine and we were all okay. And then my grandparents is kind of where it kind of went a little iffy. So I never told my grandmother, our grandmother, I hope they never hear this, but I really doubt they will because I doubt she'll hear, doubt she'll like to hear this. But when I came out to my grandmother, she approached me and asked me, and then I said yes. And then she started to cry and I asked, oh, well, why are you going to cry? Why are you crying, grandma? It's fine. And she looked at me dead in the eyes and said, because when I die, I'm not going to see my grandson in heaven. I was like, oof, okay. That's where it's going. That is definitely something that, like, you know, from your grandmother is just like something you probably don't want to hear. And I didn't want to hear it. And I told her, well, that's what you believe in, grandma. And she was like, well, it's the truth. And then we just go through that. And that was really an awkward conversation with her. And it just really pushed me down for a while. It made me in a dark place again, just about life and who I am. And then my other grandmother found out later on and she had a different perspective. She kind of said, it's totally fine that you're gay. We just need to talk to God and a priest. So let's talk to him. And then she made me talk to a priest and I was completely okay with it. I mean, I'm good to talk to a priest. If it makes my grandmother happy, I'm going to do it. And I talked to this priest about me being gay and about religion and about all aspects that we can. And he said, God does not hate you if you're gay. He hates if you act upon it. And that was like something that I took from him. I was like, okay. So then he told me a story, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I hope he did not believe this was real. But he said that he has an uncle who is gay and he's out and he lets everyone know. And he has had a husband for 20 years, but they have never touched. They have never done anything sexual. They have never kissed. They have never done anything, but they're husband and they're together. But they just don't do anything. He's like, and he's okay. He's going to be in heaven. He's going to be totally fine because he did that. And I just, that also kind of ripped me down. And then she talked to me afterwards and see, you just can't do anything. You can't act upon it. You can't think about it. Just, we know you are, but let's not talk about it kind of thing. And I don't talk about it with that grandma at all. And then that pushed me down for a while. But a big thing is my grandfather. Growing up in the valley, my father lived here with Saul in San Antonio, and I grew up in the valley and I would see y'all every other weekend. Like, it's not like I didn't see everyone, but my grandfather was also living in the valley. So he was immediately right there. He was my connection to the other part of the family that was so close to me. So he became a father figure for me for a very long time. He still is a father figure. I still appreciate my father and he's a father figure to me also. But grandpa is also a father figure. I just want that to be stated. And he was, especially at a younger age, I would always go to him. And we've kind of come to a consensus with everybody that it's something that he might not know for his life kind of thing. So like, he doesn't really need to know. That's what we've all thought about it. And that really just hurts me too. It's kind of, at least for right now, it's kind of hard living an entire life that's a secret for a whole aspect of my family, my grandfather. Is really scary. And his wife knows, our grandma knows, which is another weird aspect of it. But that really hurts me sometimes that I'm not sure how he's going to react. And I've thought about that before. I didn't think my father was going to react very well. But when I told him, he started crying, mostly because I didn't tell him. So that was not something I was expecting. So I never, I don't know how our grandfather's going to react, but I don't think it's going to be very good. And having someone such a big role in my life really just, it really upsets me that I don't get to be my true self to him probably ever. And that's the hard part about my sexuality, I could say, is just having that thing. And I don't judge anybody for being homophobic. I guess I can judge you because if you're hateful, but if you don't agree with what it is, that's fine. Like, that's your beliefs. I understand. I won't judge you for your beliefs. Just don't be a hateful person and don't do those things. So I'll never judge him no matter what his reaction. I'll never judge anyone no matter whatever their reaction is to me. But it is scary just to think about it. And it's really upsetting just, I don't know, being my half self to half of my life kind of thing. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you for your candor in sharing all that. I mean, now I'm sure it's easier for you to talk about, but I know for a long time it was something that was hard to talk about. So thank you for sharing that with the audience. And just as a note, so obviously we grew up in a really, really, you know, hardcore Catholic family. And I think that's where a lot of the fire and brimstone comes from when it comes to the older generation. But something that I haven't agreed with almost my entire life, and I had this conversation with my mom last week actually because of what the Pope said, is that I don't believe that if Jesus was here, that he would, you know, excommunicate an entire sector of people based on who they are. I mean, that's just fundamentally not what Christianity is about. It's about love, and love is love. And while some of the Catholics may come for me by saying that, like, I really don't care, because ultimately, you know, practicing what you preach, it's all about loving everyone around you, no matter who they are, no matter their flaws, their imperfections. It's about loving them in the same way that we are bestowed this love by our Father in heaven.
Sure. I definitely agree with that, especially with the older generation being a lot harsher. I've never received any hate from any younger person. I'm sure there's out there that would hate me, but I've never personally received that. And that's why, but having those instances with older generations, it does teach you how to have a relationship with God where you don't have to believe that. You don't have to take the hatred and the brimstone and the hellfires as fact. That's, I'm sorry, like, that's what I believe. And if you believe something else, I agree to disagree, frankly, because that is something I believe. God is love. That's pretty much, he is love. Why is he going to hate me for this situation? So you just have to take religion as something that people disagree on, and you just have to find what's comfortable with you and where you are in your position with God and life and religion. So it's definitely something, it's a journey for everybody, and you just have to take that journey. You have to find your destination when you finally want to become a religious person, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it very well. I'm glad that you're able to take both those positives and negative ends of the spectrum for your experience with who you are, and not be bitter about it, but take it for what it is, and to continue to love those around you. And I'm just happy that you're able to be fully who you are in the presence of everyone in San Antonio. And, you know, for Grandpa, I think there may come a day where maybe he does find out, and that's ultimately up to you. But I think at the bottom of the conversation, you know, you're still loved, and you're loved for who you are. And I think everyone knows that, and I think you should know that as well.
For sure, I definitely do. This family is a very loving family. We talk to each other every single day. So I have never once felt unloved in this family. And that is something that is, again, a very huge privilege that I have as a person and as a gay man, as just many aspects of my life. But a lot of people don't have that. And that's something that we can also think about and just say, wow, we have a pretty awesome family.
Definitely.
We love each other.
Well, I think we did a great job of encapsulating a lot of who you are and what you've been through, what you've learned in life. But I guess this would be the general portion of the episode where I just turn it over to you for any thoughts or suggestions that you have in terms of media and what's helped you through the years and stuff like that.
Yeah. So in regards to my final words, I guess I can say is just like, if you're struggling and if you're not sure about what's going on in the world and you're kind of scared because it seems like there's a big blanket over you and it's really heavy and you don't know what to do, just talk to someone, because talking to someone can really impact your life. And you may not even know it, but you might be struggling and you might be freaking out and you might be having panic attacks. You might have anxiety, but you just were never told about it. So I definitely would just say, take an active role in your own mental health and in your own health in general, and do things, fight for yourself, not against yourself, and do things that can really just make your life better. And I definitely can recommend therapy. Talking to someone from that perspective, talking to someone that knows what's going on and is educated and can help you is such a big thing. So my main recommendation would be therapy, whatever it is to you. Find some hobbies, be able to get your mind off things, instantly just wipe and just love yourself and just know you're amazing, know you're awesome. For media recommendations, I don't listen to music, which is, I know this is a music podcast. I really don't listen to many things, so I can't really list any media, but I can say get vaccinated, get your vaccines, people, stay healthy. Coronavirus is not over. We can't just forget about it. If you go get a vaccine, you're not taking it away from someone else. You're just getting it for yourself. Please, if you can find a place, I would definitely recommend doing that because it can save lives, guys.
100%. Yeah. Everyone go get vaccinated. I'm tired of the anti-vaxxers. Yes. Y'all need to do your part.
Stop, guys. Stop.
But yeah, I think that's a great place to end. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm sure it's not something that you have to think about every day in terms of, you know, outwardly communicating all these different things. But I'm very thankful for you as a person, as a brother, and for all you have to offer the world. It's been incredible to see you grow as a person. And yeah, I really look forward to all the things you're going to accomplish in life and continuing our relationship into the future.
Well, thank you, brother.
Of course.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed it. I think we had a great conversation. I really enjoyed talking to you. And yeah, I can't wait for the future and see all the amazing things that holds for both of us, frankly. So thank you, brother.
Yeah, of course. All right, signing off. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Growth and Jams podcast. My name is Saul. We are hosted by 1718 Media. If you enjoyed the show today, please feel free to give it a rating in the podcast app. Also, follow us on social media at Growth and Jams. Thank you for tuning in.